Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
From not enough to too much, major retailers like Target say excess inventory is weighing on business, what it means for the companies and for consumers.
I think that we'll see stores with some clearance racks, some overstuffed shelves in some product categories, but overall prices are still high for many goods.
And why Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is warning that inflation will remain high. Plus, the metaverse gets a watering hole, but there isn't a drop to drink. It's Tuesday, June 7th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. As we reported this morning, voters in seven states, including California, New Jersey, Mississippi, and New Mexico, are casting their primary ballots today. Our congressional reporter, Natalie Andrews, says all eyes are on settling House races for the fall. And for Democrats, California could be key.
So California may be Democrats' really only bright spot across the country. There's a few races where Democrats could win or set up for a competitive race in the fall. And the reason why they're needing that bright spot is there are a lot of districts elsewhere across the country that don't look so great.
In California, the top two candidates, regardless of their party, advance to runoffs in November. We'll have more on the primaries and results in tomorrow morning's show. Appearing before lawmakers on Capitol Hill today, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said she expects inflation to remain elevated.
There's no question that we have huge inflation pressures, that inflation is really our top economic problem at this point, and that it's critical that we address it. So I do expect inflation to remain high, although I very much hope that it will be coming down now.
Rising prices for groceries, gas, and other goods have become a source of frustration within the White House. Yellen said that the Biden administration is updating its inflation forecast, which had been set at 4.7%. Meanwhile, the World Bank is warning of stagflation, high inflation coupled with tepid growth, and is cutting its global economic growth forecast to 2.9%. That's a sharp downgrade from January, when the bank had predicted 4.1% growth this year and an even further fall from last year, when growth was at 5.7%. In its latest report, the bank said damage from the pandemic and the war in Ukraine are having a long-term impact and compared current economic conditions to the 1970s. The bank noted that the recovery back then involved steep interest rate hikes, which led to financial crises in emerging markets and developing economies. Kohl's is in exclusive talks to be sold to Franchise Group in a deal that could value the department store chain at about $8 billion. Franchise Group, which owns brands including Vitamin Shoppe, had offered around $60 a share for Kohl's, confirming an earlier report by The Wall Street Journal. The exclusivity period is expected to last 3 weeks, though a deal isn't guaranteed. According to people familiar with the matter, Franchise Group has been vying for Kohl's in competition with private equity firm Sycamore Partners, which put in a bid in the mid-50s a share. And last month's recall of some Jif peanut butter products could bring down J.M. Smucker's profits and sales. The company said the recall, due to possible salmonella contamination, would dent sales by 2% and could hurt profits. Smucker said sales rose 6% in the fourth quarter, which ended in April, but that was mostly due to price increases. Coming up, consumer habits are shifting, supply chains are in flux, and that's causing snags for major chains. More on Target's latest warning and whether it could be a bellwether for retail. That's after the break.
WSJ Special Access gives you a front row seat to some of the Wall Street Journal's most exciting content, like The Quirkier Side of Life, a new series that features the fun, surprising stories our reporters come across.
The chief executive walks 10,000 barefoot steps every day. He recalls stepping on a bee, which put him off earthing for a couple of days, but he got back to it.
Check out The Quirkier Side of Life on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
During the height of the pandemic, many retailers benefited from consumers staying at home and ordering goods to make being at home so much more comfortable. Now, those habits are changing, and so is consumer spending. It's been challenging for retailers to keep up. Target is a prime example. Just 2 weeks ago, the retailer reported a drop in quarterly earnings, saying that shoppers were buying more groceries and luggage, but fewer big-ticket items. Today, Target had to revise its profit outlook downward again because its stores are full of items no one's buying. Target said it needs to offer discounts to clear out unwanted goods and cancel orders. So, what does that mean for Target's business? And what can it tell us about the challenges major retailers are facing as the nation continues to emerge from the pandemic? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal retail reporter Sarah Nassauer. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Sarah, to start us out, how unusual is it for a retailer to come back and change their profit expectations after 2 weeks?
It's pretty unusual, and it's definitely unusual for Target in the current environment where over the last 2 years, we've seen really strong results from them.
So tell us what's going on with Target right now. It has said it needs to cancel orders and offer discounts. What went wrong here?
They bought too many things that we aren't buying anymore. These big pandemic purchases that we all did, you know, of computers and patio furniture and home goods, we're doing less of those. They say that demand for that shrunk faster than they anticipated. And the supply chain issues played a role because they ordered aggressively in some cases, and in some cases those items were delayed, so they showed up after the ideal buying window, and now they have to deal with that inventory.
So is it sort of a misassessment or incorrect assessment of supply and demand here? Is that the major player?
Exactly. It's a misassessment as well as some supply chain effects. There was nothing that Target could do about a container ship getting stuck in Shanghai, but they definitely say that they overestimated how much we want some of these big pandemic buying trend type products.
So how much of a hit is Target likely to take from this? What will it mean for the business?
So they basically said that for the current quarter, the second quarter, their profits are going to be down more than they predicted when they announced earnings 3 weeks ago, because they're going to move through that inventory.
They're going to cancel orders. They're going to sell it at a discount. That's going to eat into the margins. And that will affect the full year, though they hope that that painful process will be done by the current quarter.
So we've been talking a bit about emerging from the pandemic, and we've seen how consumer habits are shifting now. The last jobs report found that retailers shed tens of thousands of jobs. Is what's happening at Target right now indicative of the struggle other retailers are facing as well as they try to follow this shift in consumer behavior?
You saw many retailers, when they reported earnings over the last few weeks, say that inventories are really elevated compared to last year. That just means they have a lot of products. Some of that executive said is because of inflation. When things are worth more, you know, they're going to look like it's a bigger pile of goods on their P&L. Some of it is stuff that they want, but maybe arrived early. So Walmart, for example, talked about having goods that they hope they're going to, you know, hold and sell over the rest of the year. And some of it is goods that people don't really want anymore. And lots of retailers have talked about there's going to be some sales. There's going to be some discounts on those types of items. And that includes like casual apparel, because we're buying dressy stuff. That includes home goods and patio furniture.
So that may be good for consumers, but what does this tell us about the challenges that retailers will be facing in the coming months?
It means we're going to see lower profits from many of them because they're going to have to deal with this imbalance. It also means that they're spending quite a bit of time now on trying to get better at forecasting. You know, forecasting, this idea of forecasting sales in the future or fashion trends, that type of thing, happens far in advance of the moment that those purchases are made. And so some of them have talked about tweaking some of those systems.
And Sarah, what might this mean for markets? You mentioned earnings reports not so long ago that sort of dragged down the major indexes. What's the expectation here?
Well, we'll see. But Target's announcement today has definitely I've, you know, seen some analysts talk about, well, this doesn't bode well for the entire retail industry because it means others are going to be dealing with this. It means discounting is back. Discounting kind of was on hold during the pandemic when demand was so high and supply was a little restrained. And so they're, you know, bracing for that to be an industry-wide issue. I think that we'll see stores with some clearance racks, some overstuffed shelves and some product categories. But overall, prices are still high for many goods. You know, this could alleviate some of that if there's discounts on certain types of products. But, you know, we're all still paying quite a bit for food and gas. So that consumer pressure is still here. One thing I think that investors are interested in is what's different 3 weeks later. They talked about their profits. They talked about having too much inventory and needing to go through that inventory 3 weeks ago. And when I spoke with Brian Cornell, the CEO of Target, he said that they watched other retailers report higher inventories over the last 3 weeks. They looked at consumer trends and they decided that they needed to be more aggressive getting rid of this inventory so that they can have more relevant, fresh merchandise on shelves and not lose any market share. They sort of think this is a competitive play to move a little bit faster, perhaps, than some peers.
That's Wall Street Journal retail reporter Sarah Nassauer. Sarah, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And finally, brands are jumping headfirst into the metaverse, fighting to be the first to meet the pioneering citizens of the digital universe. That includes alcohol makers. Tequila giant Jose Cuervo has been bumping heads with Wisher Vodka, the first digital distillery. Miller Lite opened a bar in the metaverse with giveaways around the Super Bowl. Irish whiskey maker Kinahan's is having digital tastings. But our tech reporter Megan Bobrowski says there's a missing ingredient in the virtual bars.
You can go inside and you can order a drink, but you don't actually get drunk. Your avatar stays sober the entire time. And so it's more of like a socializing, hanging out thing.
And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.